Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Moving right along here. 8 p.m. January 15th, it's Wednesday. I mean, in the new year, I start to like, I don't know, not know what day it is because it's so cold. And especially this week with like me doing this earlier show and not the nighttime, I'm waking up, I'm not knowing what day it is. Like, today's Wednesday. I feel like I was just glued to the couch on Saturday, Sunday watching these games. I can't wait for the divisional round. We'll also start to look ahead at the weather and the matchups. And I mean, with the Lions, I think they are in prime position to get got at home. If Jared Goff is turning the ball over, if they're giving the ball to Jaden Daniels extra times, if Riverboat Dan Campbell wants to go for it on fourth down, like if their coordinators are distracted, like last year, Dan Quinn was 1 foot out of the door to take the Commanders' job, they'll face the Lions, and his defense wasn't ready to stop the Green Bay Packers. You know, the conversation is really starting to heat up around Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. Obviously, with the bye week last week, they were able to do their interviews. Connor was just mentioning to me as I sent him the audio for Aaron Glenn, what's the word out there on Ben Johnson? Where are they saying he's going to be headed, or rumors speculating that he's going to go?
So there's nothing confirmed, but it seems like on Twitter, you're seeing a lot of rumors that Ben Johnson and the Raiders seem to be getting close to possibly doing something. And Vincent Bonsignori, who's a reporter out in Vegas, he just tweeted a lot of momentum building for Ben Johnson and the Raiders, which you would think would be, like, if he's waiting for one of these jobs to open up, you wouldn't think the Raiders would be the one that he would go to. But I think because of Tom Brady being there, I think he feels as though it's a stable job with Brady as opposed to it just being Mark Davis. So I think that might be what's kind of pushing him to do it. I don't know if he'll wind up going there, but I can understand wanting to be the head coach of a team where Tom Brady is involved in some way.
Okay, so the Raiders, he'll go from one dome to another dome. I heard Evan today talking about these dome teams. He'll go from a cold state with a dome to a warm desert state with a dome, from the Lions to the Raiders. Obviously, the Tom Brady influence. If I'm him and I'm an offensive guy, I'm not going anywhere without my quarterback. Oh, wait. What was I saying yesterday? The Raiders swung for Derek Carr. They signed Gardner Minshew. The Raiders should go out there and pay Sam Darnold, pair him up with Ben Johnson, who just faced him in division, and see what those two could cook up. Okay, now I'm starting to see where this thing is headed a little bit. The Raiders in a division with Andy Reid, who's, I don't know, if he wins a Super Bowl this year, he might be out of there. Sean Payton, how old is Sean Payton? How many more years is he going to coach? Jim Harbaugh, he's also up there in age.
You would think for Ben Johnson,
Johnson's only 38.
He's only 38, and he's this offensive guru. You would think like a clear choice for him would be Chicago with Caleb Williams. I mean, it's a disaster there, but
they're going to get Mike McCarthy.
You think so?
I think because of the dynamic between them and the Packers, they want to know as much of the secrets from the Packers as possible, and that's the guy that you go to. I think, you know, I have in my notes, obviously, stupid Jerry Jones being petty blocked them from talking to Mike McCarthy and then let him go. But I have in my notes that the Chicago Bears sent a personal flight for McCarthy, flew him out. I was listening to Connor Hughes on Evan and Tiki talk about how, oh, these coaches can just be interviewed over Zoom now. Why interview a guy over a 90-minute Zoom when you can send a plane for him? So, yeah, they sent a private plane for Mike McCarthy. And I think the Bears mean business with Mike McCarthy because they need to establish something. They need to build some type of culture. They need a stable figure. He's big as a bear, Chicago Bears. Yeah, I think Mike McCarthy is going to go there with all the secrets that he has from Green Bay. It makes a lot of sense. And then put Caleb Williams in his offense. And man, I'm starting to see where these coaches are going. Where's Aaron Glenn going? Now, Aaron Glenn is not just a coach, and he'll tell you so much. Let's play the audio from Aaron Glenn speaking today as the Detroit Lions met the media.
As far as, you know, typically, I mean, Bill Belichick is a shining example of a defensive coach who won Super Bowls, but typically yeah. It's offensive coordinators. They come from the offense who become Super Bowl head winning coaches.
Yeah.
Why do you think that might be? Is there...
Well, I don't know if that's truly accurate. I can just go off the top of my head with Bill Carr, Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick, that's won a ton of Super Bowls. As a defensive coach. And here's the one thing that I would say about myself. I'm a coach. I just happen to be on defense. I understand the offense just as well as a number of people. So if you want to hire me, you're going to hire a coach. You're not going to hire a defensive coach. I'm going to talk to the offense just as much as I'm going to talk to the defense.
I'm kind of reading between the lines here, right? He's got the inside track, or the Jets have the inside track to him. He's supposedly, there's rumors that, you know, his first choice would be the Jets. He's almost kind of talking in the press conference as if he's talking to the Jets media, coming off the heels of Rob Saleh, who was a defense-only coach, right? That's all anyone ever gave him credit for. Like, he can't possibly know anything about offense. Aaron Glenn is leaning into, I'm a coach. He's also a former player. He's also done everything from be a scout to be an assistant to be like he's done a lot. And man, he's coming from Detroit where they really had to figure it out. They really had to get it out of the mud. When they were in Hard Knocks, man, you saw this guy. They preached grit, right? Toughness. And that's how that team plays. They got to find the right GM because the GM of the Lions hit on a bunch of picks. But man, if Aaron Glenn, a former Jet, is willing to come to New York and lead the Jets, and like he said, have his hand in everything, there you go. There's the guy. 888-808-1019. Back to the calls on Pete Alonso. Back to the calls on Key Brian Hayes. We let off talking about Pete Alonso, where we are with the Mets and the contract situation. I just think if this goes until February, it's going to sour the relationship. It's going to get to the point where another team is going to do physicals, take a look at their lineup, take a look at their roster, and say, hey, short two-year deal, we'll make a play for Pete Alonso, and maybe he'll be more inclined to have a change of scenery and not be a part of this new iteration rebrand that is the Mets. Carlos is in Queens. Carlos, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's happening, Keith? Listen, as far as Alonso's concerned, I really think that's one of the biggest fumbles. That's that contract that he didn't want to take, the 7 years, and then he says no to the 3 for 90. I mean, you can't blame the Mets. Vladdy is way better all around. He plays better defense, stays healthy, better average, or just all around. So it's
They're a year away from potentially even bidding on him, and they don't know if it's a guarantee that they're going to get him.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's true. But, you know, you can do a little will and deal. You know, we have some prospects there that we bought. You know, we could get Bert Beatty and a few other prospects to get him.
Yeah, maybe they could trade for him at the deadline. I don't see Toronto trading him before the season starts. And then when you get to the deadline, there's other competition. And ultimately, Vladdy doesn't have the say. The Toronto Blue Jays have the say in where he goes.
Would you see far-fetched that they can trade for Vladdy right now, and then they would also sign Alonso to keep him like as a, you know, do like
no,
a...
No, I think it's too much. It starts to get too crowded. Then you have too many guys that project to be a DH in 3 years. You have too many alphas. You have too many home run hitters. You have too many... I don't know. Like, you don't need all of those guys. I think you got to lock up your guy. You got to take care of your guy and Pete Alonso. And if they don't want him,
They tried to, but they tried to.
The old regime tried to.
About family.
Billy Epler tried to.
They tried to give him 3 for 90. He didn't want to take it. So I
mean, because I wouldn't take that either. I wouldn't take it either. You just gave Juan Soto 15 years and escalators where he could make up to $55 million a year.
Yeah, but But Boso is a different. He's in a different
completely
bracket.
Completely different.
Do the pocket watching.
But you know it's the same. The agent,
you know, your numbers
and
down.
The owner. Those are the same.
You know your numbers were down. You should be like, ah, you know what? I'm going to prove myself because my numbers were down the last few years.
He did in the playoffs.
Listen, I'm not taking
his numbers
away,
in the playoffs. He had some of the best numbers out of anybody that was in the tournament. I hear you. I understand what you're saying, though.
Well, I appreciate taking the call, man. Have a good
one. Thanks for the call, Carlos. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is a Toronto Blue Jay. He's stuck in Canada. You can't talk about a player as if it's just a guarantee that, oh, yeah, he's on the Mets next year. Yep. Bye, Pete. He's gone. Take care of your own. Take care of your guy. Get that piece back to the puzzle from last year's run to the NLCS. I think it's that simple. 888-808-1019. Sam in New Jersey. You got it. You're on the fan.
What's up, Keith?
What's up?
Couple questions for you. First of all, on Pete Alonso, I thought this year was the year was my make or break for, King Cohen of trusting him, right? Yeah, I felt like he was kind of underwhelming. Start of the year, really terrible. But you know what? He told us we were a playoff team in January, and it pulled it off. So my trust is back. It sucks that the trust I'm putting in is maybe losing Alonso. I want him here. I wish he could stay here, but I now trust the team, and I'm on the trust for
like,
the side. I'm not sure about you.
Not to cut you off, but I like that thought and that take as a fan. To say, I love Pete and what he did in the past, but after what I've seen, I got to trust that we have one of the smartest guys running this thing in our president of baseball operations. Whatever he sees fit, fine by me. And I got to trust that that's going to be better in the future for us because I'm trying to win the World Series. And if he thinks he can build a World Series team without Pete Alonso, then so be it. Think about the decisions that he made this year, the guys that he's passed on trading for, the guys that he passed on signing last year. I know, last year when Kodai Senga went down, everybody was screaming for him to sign Jordan Montgomery. And that's another Boris client. The Diamondbacks signed Jordan Montgomery on a short-term deal, and their owner comes out and says the worst decision he ever made.
Yeah. My second thing is a little off-topic for us Cowboys fans. I'm a guy that watches game every year. I couldn't wait. I hated the smug face of Mike McCarthy every single game, so I'm glad he's actually gone. But this is a year where we're kind of lower half of the draft order. I mean, we need a running back, obviously. We need feet behind the line. But you think there's any way possible we make a run at someone like Travis Hunter or someone
No.
to move up the ladder? Even if the Giants move out of that position, I don't know if the running back, obviously Saquon is bringing the value of the running back, right? There's a couple people right now that
Derrick Henry,
are putting
Josh
their
Jacobs,
foot on the ground.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, right, like, I think they're bringing that value back. They're not $13 million
players anymore. The
Cowboys sorely
needed it. They didn't have a 100-yard rush until, week 11 when Rico Dowdle started to turn it on.
So do you think we get that from the draft, or do you think we get that from what's out there?
I'm with it. I wasn't with it when they drafted Zeke at 4. I wanted Jalen Ramsey. Yeah. But at 12, if Ashton Jeanty is still there, take him.
Yeah.
He could have been the Heisman Trophy winner, not Travis Hunter. Take him because
–
if you have this running threat, it makes it easier for Dak.
Yep.
It makes it easier for CD. And if they don't get the running back, I'm also not opposed to them taking the best wide receiver available because they kicked that down the road thinking that, I don't know, Jalen Tolbert or, I don't even know who they thought. Brandon Cooks was going to be, they needed a number two wide receiver. So CD could continue to be CD. They need a receiver. I'm thinking offense. I know the defense is in shambles, but I guess that's why they're interviewing Rob Saleh.
Right. Yeah, and my last thing is, as a Cowboys fan after this year, I think I'm a Dak fan, and I'm glad he's here. And, I'm hoping that we get those weapons around him, and he's back in those kind of, not MVP, but those conversations of putting up those stats. So that's all I got. Appreciate you, Keith. Have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Sam. I just don't know where they go. Jerry Jones is terrible. Reports come out that Jerry Jones is doing a solo mission as far as interviewing and conducting interviews with head coaching candidates. And your first two head coaching candidates are Deion Sanders and Rob Saleh. Are you kidding me? You got to be joking me. That's reality? That's real life? You started off late? You let a whole week go by where you could have interviewed Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, but you weren't able to because you messed around with the contract of Mike McCarthy. Dumb. I don't know. I froze my account though, so I'm really not on that. I didn't wear any Dallas Cowboys gear. I didn't put a dollar into Jerry Jones. I haven't been to Jerry World in almost a decade. Like, I'm off that completely. You can't rock with them. Like, you think the morale is low for the Giants, the morale is also low for the Dallas Cowboys. I hope Dak is back to MVP form, but he was running Mike McCarthy's offense. Mike McCarthy was calling the plays this year. So where do they go? If they want to hire Rob Saleh, and you hear Aaron Glenn leaning into, you know, I'm a coach, right? Kind of like I thought it was kind of saying, like, I'm not Rob Saleh, bro. I know both sides of the ball. I'm checking on everything. I'm not just a defensive coordinator getting hired. But, yeah, if the Cowboys are interviewing Rob Saleh, that's another thing, too. Like, I guess the league actually looks at Woody Johnson and the Jets as that much of a laughingstock. That, like, Rob Saleh and his terrible record as a head coach, he's getting consideration. The Niners want to potentially bring him back as defensive coordinator. The Jaguars were the first to interview him, where I laughed. I'm like, the Jaguars think they're better than the Jets. The Jaguars are the worst team in the last 10 years. The Jets are right next to them, record-wise, amount of wins in the last decade. But no, Rob Saleh, I guess, has some respect. And I guess I have to put some respect on his name as well, because what happened to the Jets once they fired him? The wheels completely fell off. 888-808-1019. Back to the conversation about the Yankees. Unfortunately for me, I picked the Yankees and the Dallas Cowboys around the same time, like 90, 95, 96. Damn. I mean, it's been a lot better to be a Yankee fan. But, like, without a World Series win, thank God we got back to the World Series. At least we don't have to hear, you haven't been to a World Series. But, like, without a World Series win in 15 years, you're, like, almost halfway to where the Dallas Cowboys are without a Super Bowl in, like, 30 years. And it's a scary place to be. You know, the 90s, like, we're halfway through the 2020s. The 90s are starting to become ancient history. All right, these kids now think, like, the 1900s? You were alive? You remember things from the 1900s? Yes. And I remember the first World Series that I even kind of paid attention to. Charlie Hayes made that final out. And I like the idea of potentially bringing in Key Brian Hayes. I don't think it's going to cost too much. Let's talk to some Yankee fans about that. Frank in Brick, New Jersey. Frank, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing, man? I like that trade, to be honest with you, man. It makes a lot of sense. You fill a hole there. Like you said, offensively, if he hits 260 and whatever, man, but as a great fielder, that's where you win games, is defense. And then you know what? It could cost you Dominguez, get rid of him. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan anyway. I've called you before and you told me you were crazy. I was crazy, but I'm just not as biggest fan as a fielder. I don't care what he could hit for home runs, whatever. If you can't feel the ball, you're losing, man. I mean, because then you shore up that left side of the infield with Hayes and Volpe over there for how long? 10 years, 12 years, yeah. 13 years, whatever.
Yeah, stay with me, Frank.
It really.
Dominguez, if I said you were crazy, I didn't mean to say you were crazy, but like, Yankee fans, especially some of us younger Yankee fans, we have heard of the Martian, Jason Dominguez, since he was 17. And we're seeing images of him drilling baseballs in the Dominican Republic. He looks like a linebacker. And we've been waiting for our young phenom to come up, our young, talented player like that. That, like, you know, when he first burst on the scene, he took Justin Verlander deep in Houston. We're like, here he is, embrace the Martian. I think his true position is center field. And if he's playing center field, you know, 2 years ago, I went to those games. I saw, I think, his fourth homer, and I saw him play center field, and I said, he looks comfortable in center field. It's tough to play left field in Yankee Stadium. He did not look comfortable there on short notice. They should have called him up September 1st. But I know he was hurt, and I know Verdugo, there was some, I don't know, kind of affinity towards him. I think that they're going to try and put Cody Bellinger in left field and have Dominguez play center field.
I hope not. I really hope not. And here's the thing that worried me about Dominguez, too. I mean, here's the thing that worried about me. Dominguez, too, already had the surgery the end of last, the year before. Came back, he got hurt again while he was rehabbing from that. So, you know, I've heard all you, a lot of you guys saying everything, prospect is suspect, you know? If you can't slide, I'm sorry, you're a pro baseball player, pro any sport. If you can't look at all the linemen, they slide around from guard to tackle to center and everything, they do it. If you can't slide from center field to left field, I know you're left field in Yankee, I'm 63 years old, all right? If you can't slide from center field to left field in Yankee Stadium and look like a real, you know what, out there the way he looked this year, I'm sorry, man. I just can't. I'll give
the bat up. Thanks for the call, Frank, but I can't do that. I can't co-sign that. It's an ocean in left field in Yankee Stadium. You're 63, you know. How'd IKF do going from center field in Yankee Stadium to left field? We have had, you know, there was one night I was on, and I was getting calls from Mets fans talking about, oh, the curse of Juan Soto. No, it's the curse of Joe Girardi. No, the only curse that exists is the curse of Brett Gardner over there in left field. We can't find a left fielder to play back-to-back years. Can we have an opening day with the same left fielder starting for back-to-back years? It's hard to play. It's hard to read the ball. The lights are bright as hell. The fans are banging on the wall. It's crazy. It is a completely different look from center field to left field. I can't look at a 21-year-old kid who's just starting to get up here and say, nah, he's not, you know, and I can't equate it. I can't equate it to offensive linemen moving over 3 feet. It's not the same to me at all. I am not out on Jason Dominguez. And I think that, like, if we save this audio and fast forward 6 months from now, like, Jason Dominguez could have his breakout year. Jason Dominguez could be a left-handed masher. Jason Dominguez could be the Yankees' leadoff hitter. Jason Dominguez could be super solid in center field. We're moving Judge back to right field. And Cody Bellinger, the first thing he told Aaron Boone was, I don't care where you play me. He can play left field in Yankee Stadium. 888-808-1019. So now we got the Yankees conversation in the air. We've got the Pete Alonso conversation in the air. The Aaron Glenn Jets coaching conversation in the air. There's more to do. Got eyes on the Knicks. We'll get into it. I got another 2 hours on the fan. Call up. I'll be right back. Yeah. 8:30. I'll be out of here in 2 hours, and then you'll get Capper and Carino with Brooklyn Nets basketball. We're talking sports. It's the Fan in New York. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, touched on everything from Pete Alonso and his situation with the Mets. Family. That's how you treat family. Speaking of family, Key Brian Hayes, Charlie Hayes' son, allegedly wants to trade out of Pittsburgh. And the Yankees are looking for a starting third baseman. And I'd like to see them explore that trade. The Jets are exploring hiring Aaron Glenn, and it seems like he wants to be there. I mean, he's one of the top names out there, one of the top coordinators out there. And after what he said today about being a coach, I mean, I don't know how Jets fans can't be excited about this guy coming through. The Giants fired some D-backs coaches, whatever. They got to be focused on the draft. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019 as I'm watching this Knicks game. They're doing fine. 64-53 Knicks down in Philadelphia. How did I forget before? I was like, you know, Brunson and Harder back in their old stomping grounds. Mikal Bridges obviously played at Villanova and was first drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers, and his mom worked for the team. Remember that? And then they traded him to the Suns. And then they traded him to the Nets. And then the Nets fleeced the Knicks for him. Well, vice versa, you know. Fleeced the Knicks for those picks and got rid of them. And now the Nets are showing y'all how to tank. Well, not last night. Anyway, we'll get back to it. King George in the Bronx, New York. You're on the Fan.
Well, have a good January and February so you can march on through. And remember what Omar Khayyam said about family. Protect me from my family and friends because I could defend myself from my enemies. And I want Hal to act like George. George Steinbrenner didn't let you get comfortable. He kept pushing and pushing till he got results.
Okay, go on. So what action do you want from Hal right now?
You know, he's you know what? Cashman is too comfortable. He, like you said, it's starting to, the last championship starting to look like ancient history, like the Mets, 1986.
Well, that one is an ancient artifact. I wasn't alive for that.
Yeah, so that's what I liked about George. He didn't let you get comfortable. He wanted results.
I like the thought. I like the idea. Definitely with the players, right? The players, you know, I always remember hearing how Jeter said Don Mattingly was like, hey, run out here. Like, George is watching. Like, two legends? Like, they won't jog on the field. They won't walk on the field. No, they're hustling on the field because they didn't want George to tighten their ass up or get them up out of there.
And remember that guy, Bobby Meacham, made the mistake of making an error in front of George Steinbrenner and ended up in the minors.
Mm. Wouldn't have been me.
Yeah, George didn't play. We need this Steinbrenner to act like George.
Yeah, he can't. Thanks for the call, King George in the Bronx. Shout out to Hal, man. He did put on some of his, you know, father's bravado and tried to get Juan Soto and talk the talk and said, I know what's expected of me. I have ears. And he went way further than I would have went. I had no thoughts of him going to $760 million, 16 years. I would have stopped the 700 for Juan Soto. I would have stopped. But, you know, Hal tried to, you know, be a version of his father's son. I don't need him to be George. I don't. And I know a lot of us celebrate the good qualities of George. I just a few months ago watched that 1991 Bronx Zoo Yankees doc. And, you know, when you do go back and watch some of the Yankees history, like, you know, you can't leave out the bad. It can't just be all good. May he rest in peace. And, you know, we thank him for what he did for the Yankees and instilling a lot of the values, but, like, you know, it can't always be championship or bust because it's not realistic in these days. If George was alive now, he'd be very old, and I can't knock Hal for the team not being able to come through. Hal has spent money. He's tried, and I don't need him to be such a tyrant or, you know, such a figure that makes people uncomfortable where people are fearful for their job. Like, that doesn't always work. It didn't always work. George had some help. There's many people that point to Stick Michael, and there's many people that point to players that might have been traded or let go if George wasn't suspended and George was there and got to make moves and rash decisions. So, yeah, I hear you, but at the same time, I do believe in these Yankees, Hal Steinbrenner, Brian Cashman, and this roster. I do believe they're the best team in the American League. You've heard me say this the last couple weeks. The baseball offseason is short. It ain't that many days between before we run it back. Happy New Year for me is opening day, 888-808-1019. And then we start the journey again to get back to the Fall Classic. And I don't care who comes out of the National League. I think these Yankees will be better equipped. I think these Yankees will be better prepared. I think the ones last year that went through that heartbreak, they will be on their toes. They will be alert. And then the ones that have joined this team that have been all-stars, that have a World Series ring, that have MVPs, that have done it elsewhere, been to World Series or whatever, they're going to play their roles as well. And I don't care who it is coming out of the National League. It's one series. You got to beat whoever it is in a seven-game series. And I hope, I pray that they run it back and we get back-to-back years of a World Series in the Bronx. I'll see you there. 888-808-1019. Pat is in Manhattan. Pat, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Good night to you. Keith, the reason why I'm calling is, and I've heard this from hosts and fans. There was a guy that called earlier about Dominguez. And I saw both plays that he misplayed. The game at the stadium, it was one of the windiest nights I've ever been at the stadium. There was a high fly ball hit down the left field line. Mm-hmm. That would have gone into the seats, foul, but it blew back into fair territory.
Yeah, like overran it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. The other play was in Seattle, which has a tough sun field in left field.
Absolutely.
It was an afternoon game, And it was obvious that when the guy went after the ball, you see the sun reflection on his glasses. He lost the ball in the sun.
I've been out there. I know exactly what you're talking
about. These are two plays now. So because of those two plays, all of a sudden, the Yankees, their own internal scouting, they have confidence that this guy could play center field. But because of these two plays, all of a sudden, talk show hosts on WFAN and fans are saying the guy can't play the outfield.
Not me.
And another thing I want to bring up, I'll never forget the first. Keith, I want to bring this up, and it's not like ancient history. Melky Cabrera, do you remember Melky?
Of
right?
course, the milkman.
Who turned out to be a really key cog of the 2019. We got all those clutch hits and walk-off deals and all of that.
Yes.
But he turned out to be a damn good outfielder. I remember his first game was at Fenway Park, and they had like a 6:30 start, whatever. And it was during this, it was twilight time. First ball that's hit to Melky Cabrera was a line drive. It was right at him, but he came in. He misplayed, and the ball went over his head. I think whoever hit it ended up getting a triple. And from that point, it was like the next day I'm listening to Sports Talk Radio, and they said, oh, the Yankees have no prospects. Whenever they bring up prospect, the guy can't even play the outfield. My son could have caught that ball in Little League. and he turned out, and I'm serious, this is the mindset. I mean, you make one freak. I love these guys, they go to work if they ever made a mistake,
They make a mistake in their house every day. They put the dishes wrong.
I'm serious.
They throw the recycles into the garbage. Nobody's perfect.
Keep the other thing is, the other thing with Dominguez, could we keep this in mind? The Yankees signed him when he was 16 years old. Now, unfortunately, everyone forgets this. Him and other prospects lost time because of COVID. He wasn't playing ball.
Yes.
And then to compound it,
Volpe, yes,
he throws out his arm and he had surgery. So not only is he 21 years old, but he missed the equivalent of like 2 years because COVID.
And their upper body injuries, their fluke injuries, isn't the one. Didn't he get hurt celebrating?
No, I don't think they never came out because he said he had tenderness in his shoulder. He didn't say anything to anybody, whatever. So he finally had a chance to play, and he just, here he is. He's in the major leagues, and you just continue to play. But the bottom line is, so if he's 21, but in reality, because of the lack of the loss of playing time, he's really 19 because he lost 2 years. So I think, can we go slow? And also, King George, I love you, but I also remember Jay Buhner and Fred McGriff. One of the things, and Cashman is accused of being a prospect hugger. I also remember when the Yankees traded Fred McGriff and Jay Buhner, who turned out to be mega stars. Okay. So, there's a fine balance there. The key is you have to determine which guys are the studs in your farm system. And the Yankees have, and they do produce players. How many guys have the Yankees been able to pick up at the trade deadline? And their prospects are always in demand. And it isn't because the Yankees pump up their prospects. Do you think teams are going to make a trade for the Yankees because, Michael Kay said the guy's a really good player? No, they
no.
scout them. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So they always have.
Yeah.
Think
Caleb
about
Durbin.
J.P. Sears, right?
Yes,
I saw him. I was impressed with him. They traded him for Montez. They always have guys like that other teams value, and that's a credit to the Yankee farm system because a lot of these guys end up playing for other teams. Last thing for me, the guy that called about Alonso and his playoff homer. I know Judge hasn't had great numbers in the postseason, but I think he has 12 postseason home runs. 12.
He has, but since he's Judge and he homers every game, it's a different bar for him.
And also, Keith, how do you think Judge's offseason? The play he made again, in that game that he dropped that ball, do you remember the play he made against Freddie Freeman in left center field?
Off the wall. I was in there. And
I think that was his only error the entire year.
In center
Judge
field,
is
correct.
An incredible outfielder. It's unbelievable. And he had to, now that's the last. And also, think about this. The Yankees were ahead 5-0 in that game, and Garrett Cole was pitching a no-hitter. At that point, the Yankees had outscored the Dodgers by one run at that point. As it turned out, the Yankees ended up scoring one less run than the Dodgers in the whole series. But the bottom line is, at 5-0, 95% of the time, even greater than that, the Yankees win that game. Mm-hmm. That was, and the guys that made the error, Judge, then you had Rizzo and Cole.
The ball at,
these are three,
Jazz
that, three guys that
Rizzo
are
not
known
covering
for
first,
being
sure.
Guys that know the fundamentals. It was such a fluke with Cole. He thought the ball, it did a curve. You know, he thought the ball originally, he thought he was going to have to cover first base. Then he saw the ball going straight to Rizzo, and then he backed off. And he didn't.
Thanks for the call, Pat. I'm sorry. We got a break. I know. I lived it. I was in the game. Trust me, I was in the stadium. I hate that game. It was just, that's baseball, Susan. That's not Susan's brand of baseball. It was just the most oddest, ridiculous thing to ever happen to us. I just never, ever, ever want to relive something like that again. We have to break. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Keith McPherson on the Fan watching this Knicks game. It's within 3 points here. I had to get the starters back in the game. It's 83-80 Knicks. They can't mess around and lose this game. Something going on around the Twitter sphere, or X as Elon Musk has renamed it. Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns is out with the thumb sprain. And his choice of street clothes is interesting tonight. If you go to my Twitter, @Keith_McPherson, I'm like, whose man's is this? He has on a throwback Kelly Green Eagles sweater with a collar on it. Why? Like, wear some team-issued merch before you literally show up to Philadelphia as a New York Knick on divisional round week wearing an old-school Eagles. I know, these guys are Eagles fans. Him, Brunson. They're Eagles fans. I'd bet Mikal Bridges is an Eagles fan, too. But you know how many Knicks fans are Giants fans and just don't want to see that? Like Hurts last year wearing, or Brunson last year wearing the Hurts jersey. Now you got this dude. Like, we get it. Tone it down just a little bit. Hey, can't hate it, though. They're fans. And I always say, you know, if you're a fan of a team and that's something that you've been since you were a kid and you're proud of the team. Like, if the Cowboys weren't an absolute mess and a mockery and Jerry Jones actually hired people and got out of the way, I'd be proud to represent them too, but I'm not. These Eagles fans, they're up. They are proud to do their whole fly, Eagles fly, and chant the letters of the team. Good for them. But when you're a New York sports athlete, you got to know you're going to catch some flack for that. Got to know that. 888-808-1019. Going back to the conversation about Pete Alonso, but not for too long. Shout out to my guy Dan Bartles. See, because he posted, the Mets have let Pete Alonso's camp know that they need a decision soon, per John Heyman. And I shout out Dan Bartles for posting that because I can't see John Heyman's tweets. I don't know. John blocked me. So I used to follow John and be a fan of John and have post notifications on for John Heyman, but now I'm blocked. Now I'm blocked. I've been blocked for a lot less. 888-808-1019. Jesse is down in Long Branch, home of the Green Wave on the Fan in New York.
Yes, sir. I just want to go back to that whiny Yankees fan. Doesn't that guy realize that he's 1-4 in the last 5 against the Mets? It's going to be another 15 years until the Yankees sniff something.
Oh, my.
Let's go to the
regular season. We don't care about the Subway Series.
When is Uncle Steve going to buy the Jets a new home, an actual home, over in Queens? Get them out of MetLife.
I think there was recently some type of juncture where they could have opted out. Maybe that's coming up. I remember reading something about that being either at the end of last year or early this year, where if they don't do that, then they're stuck there. I don't see that happening anytime soon. We'll be old men by the time the Jets are not playing in East Rutherford, sharing a stadium with the Giants, if ever.
Mm-hmm. Long time fan. Love it. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Jesse. 888-808-1019. Yo, some of y'all tripped me out with the, like, Subway Series. I know
that's something that, you know, for every year I've been on WFAN, Mets fans, this guy's trying to minimize the Subway Series. We don't care. I have to remind you.
Let's go, Mets.
J.D. Davis was batting cleanup. Jamai Jones was batting leadoff. Like, I don't even remember the catcher's name. Was it not Luis Torrens? Was it Luis Torrens? No, I don't even remember the catcher's name that the Yankees had from Scranton up. The Yankees couldn't make it more obvious they didn't care about the Subway Series, but I bet you that changes this year. You know why? Because May 16th, 17th, 18th, Juan Soto comes to Yankee Stadium out in right field. I bet you has a different vibe this year. Looking forward to it. Got about an hour to go. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Right back after this.